The Hawks have made it to bye week, which is more important than you know. We're going to talk about it here, why de-stressing, resetting the mind, the body is huge, especially when you come off of a high-energy win at Minnesota. You've got the pig. What does that morale do during the bye week? How does that vibe change as you turn the week to Ohio State on Monday? How do you train during bye week? And a whole lot more. Let's have a day. Let's go. In the cutoff today, too. Welcome to the 5105 show. Didn't even say a word. Well, I told Justin I'm sexy before I hit the record button. But this is the main squeeze this week, Justin. There's no pregame episode this week.
No. We're just there. The boys are recovering, the guys that play.
Recover. I listened to a great podcast on recovery actually this morning.
From who?
Chris Williams does or Williamson, Chris Willie. Let me just find it. It's really good. Do you know who Dr. Mike Israetel is?
I do. I'm not a big fan of all
you don't
those
like
things.
Him?
No, because everything he does is about, like, if it's not hypertrophy, he hates it. And I mean, I've listened to some of his stuff, but it's like, I don't know how much he's worked with athletes. So I don't really want, I always take people that have never worked with athletes, anything they say with a grain of salt, because it's like, unless you've done it, it's kind of hard to tell me how to train athletes.
Yeah, I don't know if it's probably a weird perspective from your side, because I think he probably doesn't work with, I think he works with athletes, but in like bodybuilding sense.
Correct. And like, I've been spoiled because I got to work with one of the best ever. So it's like, yeah. I have to look at everything through that lens.
He's, I think what's good about Israetel is he puts things in a very consumable verbiage for a normal person. He's got a sense of humor that you either like or don't like, but I think it actually gets across decently well. And I don't know. He seems pretty, other than maybe the hypertrophy thing, he seems pretty balanced in his takes. I'm just fogging up my glasses. Do you see this? I'm coming off of my workout this morning, which I wasn't going to do. Anyway, on Chris Williamson's Modern Wisdom podcast, they did like a 3-hour podcast on recovery.
You don't need to talk about recovery for 3 hours.
Well, it was on more of the stuff than that. And they're buddies, so they talk about. But yeah, it's not hard. You basically just eat and sleep.
That's really it. Like, that's anybody listening right now, the players that play, they get to sleep in now because the meetings aren't really for them. Like the guys that play like in the two deep, and you'll probably remember this, Kluv, we flipped it. Instead of like special teams having to go first, then the lineman group and then the non-travel group, we just flipped it. So then that way, instead of you always lifting at 6, now you get to lift at like that 7:30 group, because you guys that played, you're not going to practice. Like, you're going to actually recover. And
so good.
We would have, you'd have Thursday, Friday, Saturday off. You'd actually get to watch some college football. Like,
yeah,
you'd be able to get away from it all, which is what you need. You need to get away right now.
I think the underrated part of it is like the mental, decreasing the mental load.
100%.
I don't think people just in general, like in life, like somebody working their finance job, understands what psychological and emotional stress does to them physically.
They have no idea, because if you think about that person, they don't have, like, if you think about what these Iowa Hawkeyes are doing right now, they're going to, like, it would be that 9-to-5 person that's required to do something for an extra 20 hours during the week, because these guys are going to class. They have to go to class. They have to sit in the front. They have to do everything right, because people are checking to make sure they're going to class.
Yeah.
Then you got to lift. You got to go to practice. You got to go to fit. Like, so the average listener out there who has that 9-to-5 job, imagine having to find an extra 20 hours to do a mandatory thing. And oh, by the way, at the end of the week, people are going to be staring at you and evaluating everything you do during your job.
You put your body and just your being in a very vulnerable place as a Division I athlete, or as an athlete in general. I don't, Division One is what we talk about, but it to an extent extends out to Division Two and Three too. Like they're doing some of the similar stuff. You are fortunately built for it. You're right in the middle of like your growth and development stage, so you're very resilient. The body is very resilient. I turned 30 tomorrow.
Hey, happy early birthday!
And I'm pretty damn resilient still, thanks to knowledge and experience and staying active since getting out of college, which is what most people don't do. But we're not quite as resilient as we once were, even at 30 compared to like 22. Yeah. And it's noticeable. Like it's noticeable. I can, you know, last week we talked about the sore shoulders because DeMarco's got me doing overhead squats. 275 for 4 yesterday.
I told him about yours and he said, I forget his exact words. I'll pull it up here, but he said something along the lines of like, I think he said, he's a savage. No, he didn't say savage. He said, da, 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 da. I got it. He's a stud. There it was.
Only an overhead squat.
He's a stud.
I posted the video last week of me doing the set of 5 and I just titled it on Instagram. You could try for 1,000 years and your thoracic ability will never be as good as mine. And he just responded. Correct. I actually thought about our conversation last week, this morning. And I thought about like you guys, you, DeMarco, Doyle, this morning, as I often do, because you're like this, you guys are like the boogeymen in my, I'm pretty self-motivated. I don't need a lot of like external, yeah, which is good. But every once in a while, I'll teeter on like, man, do I want to do this? Do I not? I'm kind of getting into more volume in my own personal training right now. And there's a couple days a week that I like kind of need to hit something in the morning so that I don't have to do it like 2 hours in the afternoon. Today was one of those days. I was like, I could just do a little zone 2 this afternoon and not do the higher intensity thing that DeMarco programmed. Like we'll just wait a couple weeks to really get into the 2-a-days. And then I thought, God, Doyle would call me such a bitch. Like, what if I had to stand in front of kind of similar? It's like what if I had the accountability of my peers and I had to like answer to them? Cause I don't anymore. And I was like, all right, I'll go do it. And then shuttle runs were part of the workout.
Ooh.
And in CrossFit, they're like 25 feet. So it's much shorter than like a 20 yard or 15 yard shuttle run. But got to touch the line. Got to touch the line in CrossFit because there's got to be some way to measure it other than like when you're doing like video review or like a judge. And I'm just touching these lines. I'm like, fucking Lima. God, I should not.
I wish I could touch with my foot.
Yeah, I do. It was funny. But yeah,
to your point about the stress of your teammates and accountability, everybody listening to like, remember that that's what's going on in that weight room right now. That's what's going on in film study and on practice, like
constant.
And like, if non-physical stress wasn't an issue, then people in Wall Street wouldn't be having heart attacks at 30. Like, you know what I mean? So to get away from that
is there really good data on that? Like horrible, like heart issues on Wall Street.
Half the time, those people don't have time to like actually go and get like a physical.
Yeah.
But if you know, anecdotally, if you meet any of those people, like there's actually a strength coach. He was on the Cheeky Midweekie with me, but he's an assistant down at LSU and he used to work on Wall Street. Mm. He's like, bro, working in the weight room. He's like, this is a breeze. It's like, used to be 100-hour weeks. Like, and that was just the norm.
I don't know how people do that.
Correct. And so to everybody listening out there, like that level of stress while doing something physical, like it's obviously good to do, right? Because pressure builds diamonds. But that's where, I mean, Jocko talked about it and that's where we got it, like detach, get away from it. Yeah. So you can come back fresh. And a year like this is special, everybody. Like the 2 bye weeks, this is really big. Like, oh, this is God. Huge.
I was it's thinking huge. About it. I think it should almost be mandatory. They have to find a week. They have to find a way where every team can get 2 bye weeks. It should be easy too. They should be. I hope they're tracking injury data. Somebody is.
The NCAA is, because when athletic trainers put in injuries, they have a software that goes and like that's where they categorize everything. And so the NC2A gets all that.
Because the amount of it's like a deload week for everything. Like I said, it's not just physically. You don't have to go and bash yourself into, and I know that's not the what everybody's job requires on a Saturday, but like a lot of them are. They don't have to go sprint at max speed. They don't have to go crush bones on Saturday. And even more so than that, like you said, oh, now we get Thursday, Friday, Saturday off. You're actually pulling it back. You're not just like maintaining or like coming off a little bit. You're coming off a lot. And what that does for the mind and for the mind and body coming in that next week. Like when you come in game week, so now they're chilling. They come in after this upcoming weekend. They're listening to this on Friday. We record on Tuesday. So you listen to this on Friday. The guys are just chilling. Maybe they get to go home and they see family.
They probably go and go to the high school game, right? They get kind of loved up. They get to go watch their guys.
Oh, yeah.
They're reinvigorated in the sport of football. They go watch college football. Exactly.
I think people underestimate the filling of your like emotional psychological cup and what that can do for you physically. I don't know. There's not really a great way to, especially on a podcast like this, to like describe it, but man, it works. It like freaking works.
And not to mention the bonding of like, all right, so the kicker, the punter, I don't know his name, but he's not going home.
Reese Dakin. No. Yeah, right. No, he's not going back.
He's
to
not
Melbourne.
Going anywhere, but I don't know any of the other specialists, but chances are if you were going back home, you'd be like, hey man, come with me. Like, yeah. Come to my hometown. And like, now you get that bonding and that culture and that camaraderie becomes more and more real for anybody. Even if somebody doesn't want to go all the way back to Chicago, cause they don't want to do 7 hours, 3.5 there, 3.5 back. Like it's so powerful these bye weeks. And I can't overemphasize it.
The guys from like Solon or West Branch, Bo used to take people out to his house.
Yep.
You know, like, on a Saturday, instead of, I know for a fact that at least once or twice Saturday, we'd normally be playing, but then on a bye week, we'd be out at Bo's house in nature, like
even if you're out there hunting and doing stuff, like just
a lot of guys hunt.
It's good to fill your cup and to be something. I talked about it with Mike Chapman, who's actually also at LSU. He's a head basketball guy. We worked together at Towson. He's like, I tell my guys, get out of the, like, if you're here, I'll fight you. Like,
yeah,
I need you to disconnect.
Yeah. It's, you come back in on that Monday or that Sunday and you're just like, the body feels good. The motivation is there. You're like, you don't need that. Like, you don't even need to think about Coach Doyle or like someone calling you a bitch. You're just like, I'm ready. Let's eat.
You're coming back. You're like Ohio State, like Buckeyes. Like,
well, and then you've got that on top of it.
Correct.
And is the fact that they got a win, and really like I know that some fans out there probably aren't super happy about the first half, but I'm telling you, these guys in the locker room, it's this feeling at the end of the game where that second half they put together, like the vibes are high.
Yes.
The vibes are high inside that locker room, inside that facility this week. And even the lingering of how was it the last time? Cause there is some truth to you're only as good as the last time out. And mentally, especially for young guys, there could be a lot of questioning, a lot of like, you know, you go get beat by Minnesota, you lose your second rivalry game of the year, you come into a bye week and you just got to chew on that.
Ooh, it's bad.
For
it's
2 weeks.
That hard.
You got to go home. Now you go home to fill your cup. But people around town are asking, what's up with the Hawks?
Yeah, they're not patting you on the back.
What's wrong with you guys? Like, you guys lost 2 trophy games? Now that's draining you.
Yep.
But now it's the opposite. I mean, you know, it's just like there's such a difference. So yeah, let's roll it back to what the week kind of looks like in general. You mentioned you're going to flip the young guys who haven't been getting a lot of playing time. They're going to be the ones who are now taking on some of the we'll call it a slightly more strenuous schedule. They're going to lift earlier. Does the lifting change during bye week? What does that look like?
Not really. Like, what you can do is you can tap into some of the heavier stuff just because you know that they're not going to be taxed as much on the field.
Yeah.
And then when they do get back on the field, like, they'll do a little something on Tuesday and then again, a little something, be outside for about an hour on that Wednesday. That Wednesday is a really good opportunity to hit a little bit of that max velocity work that you haven't always hit.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, we know we can attack it because they got plenty of time off. But the lifting in terms of, you know, you would just go into it knowing like, hey, the percentages will be a little bit higher this week, or some strength coaches will truly just deload it and be like, nope, deload everywhere. And so I don't think there's no right or wrong way, especially just depending on the vibe of the room and your guys, because you could always call an audible if, you know, the iron's hot. Sure.
Yeah. What do you think about, this could be a whole episode, but we'll just stick it in here. Deloading is an interesting concept to me just in general. And I like this 15 minutes has already been about stress and filling the cup or draining the cup. And so I'm just going to roll with it. How often is the optimal deload? Is it 6 weeks? Is it 8 weeks? It depends on the phase. It
depends on the athlete, depends on the phase. And you can eat, like, I've experimented where like your deload realistically can be week one of a new phase because your volume is so low.
Right.
So like sometimes it's every 4 weeks, sometimes it's five. What I found was the deload, like I'd program in weeks of five, because in week one, you're kind of introducing a new movement. They're learning it. Week two, now they're grooving the pattern. Now the next 3 weeks, you can actually wring out and get all the stress results that you want out of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's how it works. But if you have a more mature team, that's, you know, maybe you could do it every 4 weeks and just wave it that way. But it's going to be dependent on the coach within that, you know, time frame.
I think people, and this sort of bleeds into like just the clients that I work with, just everyday people trying to get strong and healthier. But I think people actually way overestimate how much they need to train before they take like a day off or a week off, or even on like the very, like a yearly macro cycle, like 2 to 4 weeks off or low. Going back to that body is resilient thing. Like I personally, after the CrossFit, I ran a half marathon June 1 and I took six complete weeks off of touching a barbell. I didn't touch it. Still worked out. Yeah. I was doing other stuff. I was doing a lot of like aerobic conditioning stuff. I was doing body weight stuff, but I did not touch a barbell. I did some dumbbell stuff, came back, and you'd think like, holy shit, dude, you haven't worked out for a month and a half with a barbell. Like you're going to lose everything. I was at like 92%, 93% of my max, like all time max strength.
Yep.
Like within 4 weeks, I set a new snatch PR.
Yep.
Like you can retain strength by doing very, very little. And you know, some of the, it probably at the Division I level, top end speeds, 10 yard splits, max power stuff, that probably does dip a little quicker, I think, than, you know, just like your average, like, hey, what's your back squat, you know, at 80% or whatever. But, I think a deload's important. What's the strength conditioning landscape as far as across the country in your perception? Do you think people deload enough or too much, or what do you think about that?
In season, I think they're afraid to deload because coaches would rather lose than be outworked.
Yes.
So a lot of the time they're too afraid to take the deload because they don't trust in their plan, and they'll be a little bit too reactive instead of, you know, proactive and sticking with the plan. And, you know, Doyle used to say, make a plan, work your plan, but don't be a slave to your plan. And I truly believe that. And that's what we would do. But yeah, across the country, some people might be too sticklers about it, or they're too stickler about deloading. Like, oh my God, we got this team, we got to deload. It's like, no, you still have to actually train. Because
finding
like
the balance. Yeah.
My track and field coaches, they were the best. They were like, dude, I don't care until it's conference meet. Like they can be sore. We're training through. Like they'd be like, maybe there's one or two meets that they cared about. They're like, bro, we're training. Like it doesn't matter. And when you have that resilient mindset, I mean, I'll never forget. It was Penn State 2017. Like, bro, we were hitting 92% singles on back squat. Like, and it was Neiman was like, bro, we're playing Penn State. We don't care. Like, we're going to go. And like, if you just can do that, you know, as the strength coach, you're in charge. Distort their reality. Like Steve Jobs did it at Apple. Like distort reality. That is your job.
Yeah. It's funny. The kind of that, like that mindset of just getting just like, there is a little bit of like, you have to just get it done. And if you don't push the envelope a little bit or try or like experiment with kind of, you know, riding that line, then you'll never know. It's funny that how many things stick with me today at now 30 years old, super old. Stuff like that compared to like being 20 years old at Iowa. I was thinking this morning when I was contemplating if I was going to do the little 30, it was like 35 minutes worth of work. And I was like, all right, I got to take the kid to daycare. And I think one of the biggest things that was instilled in me at Iowa was like this backward planning. Like, okay, my first thing on the agenda today is 8:30 with Justin. That means I kind of want to be like ready at the computer, writing some notes down at like 8:20, which means I need to like be done eating my breakfast after my workout. But like, I need to, okay, so I got to make the eggs at like 8:05. It's like, I need to be out of the shower by 8 or 7:55, which means we have to be done in the gym, like in the garage by 7:50. I'm going to get back from taking, and like, I work backwards like that.
Yep.
To make sure that everything is like planned out. And I was like, dude, you are such a geek. Like, what are you? But I know that I have a feeling your mind works the same way.
Same exact.
And then I thought like, you know, maybe this is just like, there's probably only two ways people do it. And it's like high achievers, people who want to get stuff done, people who are like, are looking ahead. They're kind of like the interest, the investment side, if we're going to use like a financial analogy, or the people who are just living paycheck to paycheck. And it's like, all right, what's next? Okay, we'll get that done. And then we'll just do what's next. And then the gaps in between those check boxes are where they bleed time and efficiency. And it's like
dead time or alive time from your book.
Dude, your memory is stupid. I hate how much you remember. I love it because it's good for this show, but I can't even remember what I did last week. What was dead time? Alive time was our team
that
name.
That was from Ego is the Enemy.
Ego is the Enemy. Yeah.
And that was from the guy who was he got put in jail and he didn't do anything wrong. And he's like, look, I can either look at this as dead time and just sulk and whine, or I can look at it as a lifetime and study books and make productive. So like anybody listening, you can have dead time if you got to go wait at a doctor's appointment. You can scroll on social media, or it can be a lifetime and you can have a Kindle app and you can read a book, or you could listen to a podcast like this. Yeah. Like you can make those things matter. And getting back to training and how we can tie this to the weight room and strength and conditioning, DeMarco's the one that got me to think about it like this, but don't consider it doing a workout, because that's what Kluve just said there. Like, you're that one session shorts, it, you could call it a workout, but realistically frame it as it's a training session, because training, you have an end goal. You're reverse engineering things versus a workout. You're doing some random thing.
DeMarco must have been on his soapbox when he was telling people that, because he used to tell me that too. I don't have a good memory, but I remember DeMarco being like, dude, we're not working out, we're training. I just remember.
Oh, if you get him on like one of his little things.
Oh, man. I remember we came into the warm up one day, you know, we're like 15 minutes early rolling out our feet or whatever. And someone's like, what's the workout today? And he's like, he was like walking by like Bigfoot in like those pictures. Yeah. And he just like turns and he's like, we're not working out, we're training. I'm like, okay. I asked him, what's the like philosophy behind, like what's the mentality behind this? Like, dude, workouts are like for people at the YMCA. Like we've got goals here. We've got objectives. And I was like, fuck, you're right.
This guy gets it.
So now I'm telling, like, another thing that has stuck with me. I'm 30 years old now. Haven't played football in 8 years. And when my wife asked me how the workout was, I don't like make a correction, but it just, the wording I use is training was good today. To this day, dude, it's crazy.
That's awesome.
You know who's training well and it's paying off is Jamari Harris.
Yes, dude. He like,
you tag me in that clip.
His confidence out there, man. Like that is a guy that you can tell. So again, listeners out there, the stress anywhere leads to stress everywhere with the HPA. Like this kid is clearly studying film. He's clearly training so he can be like. It's impressive to see, man, because playing cornerback is the second hardest position in football.
Physically the hardest, I think.
Yeah, because you have to like, you have to cover and move in space. Like the reason I pause is like, man, if I had to be a quarterback and get the blindside hit, but you're right. Like cover in space in the way that Phil, you know, asks a lot of those DBs, which is why there's always been somebody that's as high level as they are. Like they have to be able to either cover man or play zone. And then you got to come up and you got to be aggressive and set the edge. Like that's what's impressive.
When you watch him play, specifically when he breaks on passes, you're just like, oh shit, that's an NFL corner right there.
Or like, how he can play the ball with like and distort his body and turn but not interfere. That's what's really impressive.
Did you see the play? Did you watch the game this week?
I did.
Did you see the play where long pass, post route down the middle, he launched himself and tipped it in the air like he just dolphin dived and tipped it. Otherwise, it's a touchdown. I was like, oh my God, he just flew. The guy just flew.
Yep.
And to have the confidence to make that and the body awareness and the timing, it's just like people underestimate what these guys are doing, man. That's some crazy stuff. He like the way he plays with his hands, it's pretty to watch. He's been good. In a spot where, you know, the DBs have taken a little heat this year so far because we've given up some big plays.
I ignore the noise. It's like I still live there. I have no idea.
Dude, I'm part of the noise now. I'm entrenched. I am the noise. You know, I told Coach Ferentz that.
You did. I remember you said you like you saw him one time. You're like, Coach, we're the noise now. Sorry.
Yeah, I think it was like a year or two after we started. It would have had to have been 2019 because it was before COVID. And I was like, it was like the first time I'd seen Coach since I left Iowa City. And he's like, Clove, how you doing? Oh, sure. Huh. I was like, oh, we're doing great. I live in Waukena, like telling him about it. He's like, heard you started a podcast? Like, oh fuck. Oh no.
Oh, you know about
it? Oh no. Son of a bitch. I was like, yeah, we started a show with Kevin and, you know, we're basically, you know, you always told us to never listen to the noise and we are the noise now. So
don't listen to it. Make it.
Don't. Yeah. I was like, you definitely don't listen to it, but he has listened to several episodes. Specifically like when the Doyle stuff happened and the race stuff was going on, like he tuned in to those episodes, which is like such a crazy thing to think like the head coach of a program is like dipping into certain areas of like, oh, these are some of my former players. Let's see what they have to say. I'm going to go listen to this podcast. I could just see him like on his iPad shuffle, trying to figure out how to get to like, can I get a pod show on here? Or
calling Bob.
Yeah. Yeah. Bob, how do I listen to Clover? Huh? Fuck. That's so stupid to think about. So stupid. So let's finish here. They get 3 days off. How are we going to just let these guys, aren't we worried that they're going to go do something stupid, Justin?
Not even a little bit. That's where you're supposed to educate them. I mean, you're as a coach, you can't be with them all the time. You got to educate them on making the right decisions because they can make bad decisions any single day of the week, folks.
That's true. That is true.
Like if you think about it, people like that is your job. You have to instill, like you said, how can you said, right? You're 30, 8 years later, you're still thinking about that. Like, so as a coach, you find a way, how can I connect with these athletes and get them to try to care about something that's bigger than them? And like you said, the win helps, man. The win helps. And now it's like, hey, and again, what is the story you're telling everybody? Hey, we're 3-1 boys, get an opportunity to rest that body, go into the big house, or not the big house, but go to the shoe. Big game. Like you spin that narrative. Hey, we're on CBS primetime again. People care about us. Like let's go shock the world. And then you start showing like, I know Coach Ferentz has all the clips. Hey, here's the time that we beat this team. Here's the time that we beat this team. And you know, and it's just like,
what I would do to be in that room on Sunday when you just like, oh, we got a couple clips here. You want to roll it? All right. Pull it up. All right. This is 2016. Okay. Just got our asses beat by Penn State, all right? Came back. No one thought we had a chance in hell. Okay. I'm going to come out of the half here. Take a look at Brady Ross. Falls on this fumble after kickoff. Okay. Completely changed the game. Jaleel Johnson, sack in the end zone. Everybody ends in there like, oh,
I still have my...
We could do something. This could be us. We could make one of these games happen.
Dude, it's power. Anybody listening, like it is you can distort the reality, and that's how you get the results of what Iowa has done in the track record.
When they come back in on Sunday, are you guys, strength staff, specifically looking at any data or measurements to see like if it worked, like sleep numbers, or just kind of anecdotal. general assessment of like morale, like how guys are popping out of a squat, how guys are moving around in the warm up, stuff like that.
You're gonna see like who showed up to the meal, what time did they show up, was anybody mm-hmm. late? That's the first thing you look at. Yep. Then it's body language. And you're getting guys back on, like, cause you'll let everybody take, you should be letting everybody take a break from HRV, sleep stuff. Like again, yep. let them get away from it all. And then you just reestablish the norms. But yeah, like you're telling guys, hey, during this, you know, shakeout to get your legs back underneath you, like you, and you're just looking at all those things. You're having the conversations and you're almost not even letting anybody tell you that they feel other than great.
Yeah. The more that I talk to you and we go over all these things, the more I think about how many qualitative things that you guys are observing. It's crazy. And it's like almost more important than the actual numbers.
We're using the quantitative to drive the qualitative. So if you, Kluver, have good or bad HRV, I'm not going to overreact on the day because you practiced, you lift, whatever. Yeah. It's supposed to go down. But if we notice the trend, and then we'll say like, hey, Kluver, I noticed some things are down.
Yeah.
How are you?
Yeah.
And we drive the conversation. And then you might be like, hey, you know what? Stressed with the girl or stressed with school. And we have the conversation of like, hey, okay, here are some strategies to help you with that. Or on the flip side, we'd be like, hey, man, your numbers are actually trending great. Yeah. What have you done to empower you to be like, well, shoot, you know what? I stopped watching that Netflix show. I was sleeping more. And
I wish I would have done that freshman year. You would have been appalled at my fucking lifestyle freshman year. I wasn't going out. I was just staying up so late, watching so much Netflix, never sleeping. And then I was confused why I couldn't fucking get any PRs. It was such a good thing to come in and Doyle just walk by and be like, oh, recovery score of 92, huh, Clue? Oh, shit. Decided to do things right for once, huh? I'd be like, yes. Backhanded compliment.
You're like, that's a compliment.
Love it.
I'm going to get a 93 tomorrow.
Yeah. Except for my HRV. Like, I told Nick this. It's like, I am like aerobically and just fitness wise, genetically handicapped. Like, my score, I used to remember like Riley McCarron's.
I was going to mention him.
HRV was like, on a bad day, it was like, yeah, it wasn't very good, like 112. And I was 112, buddy. I'd love to get a 75. Like, and now in the space that I'm in, like with CrossFit and like all the, like just following like high performance athletes, it's like, man, some of these guys are just, they're just baseline recovery. Their baseline HRVs are so high. And I'm like, must be nice. Wouldn't it be cool to be fit? You know? But that's what it is. One last shout out. Ott Farms. Ott
Farms. Look at that shirt. That's fantastic.
Dude, I bought this, turned it into a cutoff immediately, and now I work out in it or just hang out in it. So
speaking of Ott and speaking of strength and conditioning, I hate seeing how all these other people get their eighth years. And Drew Ott is always my example of how he didn't get a fifth year. Like that just drove me insane.
We'll still get tagged in it on Twitter.
Really?
There's some guy playing his ninth season at Miami this year.
Or the quarterback at Utah might be getting his ninth next year. Like
there was a holy shit. Okay. That was crazy. My whiteboard just fell off the wall and turned the light on in the room.
Jeez.
Just Ott, he was just 5 or 8 years too late. Otherwise, he would have gotten 2 more years.
Correct.
My God, we would have. Man, when he went down to that Illinois game,
he was such a culture driver. He was. Oh, he was a big part. The biggest. Of it. Him and Blythe. Like there was. Yeah.
Being a guy who was younger than him and like someone who was, you know, trying to follow his lead. I don't think even somebody like you talk about a guy like James Morris, leader, right? Yep. But like a culture driver, no one did more than Ott in that 2015 offseason. He was the best example of it. If they haven't brought him back to talk about like that, they need to. So there we go. 5-10-5. I got to fucking fix my office now. Jesus Christ, things falling over. Thanks for listening. No game tomorrow. So, hey, you guys fill your cup. De-stress a little bit. You don't have to worry. You don't have to sit on the edge of your seat watching the Hawks play a crappy first half, and they have to save it in the second half. You guys rest and recover so we can – so we need you. Everybody is required here for this Ohio State week because we could – you know, maybe we could shock the world. We'll be back on Monday for – or will we? I don't know. We'll probably talk college football in general on Monday. We'll see you then.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.